Welcome to the Script and Style Show, the web show where we talk about web development with the people that make it happen. Today's episode is brought to you by TrackJS JavaScript Error Monitoring. Know when errors hit your website with the context to find and fix bugs fast with TrackJS. Start your free trial today at TrackJS.com. Hey there, folks. Thanks for joining us on the Script and Style web show, where we talk about web development and the personalities that make it happen. I'm Todd Gardner from TrackJS and my co-host David Walsh from Mozilla.
Hey, everybody.
So last week we had an interesting show, both in front of the camera with about imposter syndrome and behind the scenes. Huh, David?
Yeah, it was a bit strange last week because we're in the middle of, you know, filming this amazing live Script and Style show. And one of the pitfalls of working remotely is anything can happen at your house, right? People can walk in and out, kids walking in and out. Last week, I had a FedEx delivery person, roid rage, pounding on my door during this live show. In turn, my dog freaks out, as you'd
expect. Oh, no.
And they're basically making noise at each other. The thing is, I tried to ride it out, right? I tried to pretend it wasn't happening. I even took like a little pen or a pencil and like threw it on the floor behind me to startle my dog to make him stop, which worked. But this FedEx guy was so determined to deliver this box of wine. Although, fair play, I needed that box of wine after the show.
Clearly, you needed that box of wine.
He kept pounding and pounding and pounding on the door for like 5 minutes. And I was like, we need to talk about working remotely because it can be great at times, or last week during the show, it could be terrible at times. So I thought that this would be a really good topic for this week.
Yeah, I agree. So you and I both work from home. So we both have some experiences with this. And I know it's a topic that a lot of people are interested in, either people who are already working remotely and looking for, you know, better ways to be productive, or people who are just interested in getting into a job or a career or a path where you can do it.
Absolutely.
So how long have you been working remotely?
So I've been working remotely for about 9 years now. And what's funny is that I've had two phases of working remotely. The first phase was being the single guy, you know, young in the industry. And, you know, that felt one way. But now that I'm a father and a husband, working remotely has become completely different, and not always in the best way. So about 9 years now, and I can still remember when I decided that this needed to happen, that I needed to work remotely. You know how the Midwest winters are. There was a day there was like a foot and a half of snow in Madison, Wisconsin. And I got on the phone with my boss at this, you know, first small web shop that I worked at. And I said, dude, it's crazy out there. I don't want to drive to work. I have everything I need at home. I've got my laptop. I have access to everything I need. Let's just call it, you know, a work from home day. He's like, no, we can't do that because the owner wants everyone there because, you know, the web shop also had a print component and you can't run printers remotely, right? So they were worried that, you know, the printing people would be upset that the web guy got to stay home, right? And so in a huff, I, you know, got in my car. I told myself, this is so dumb. What am I doing? And on the way to work that day, I ended up sliding into a ditch. And I was sitting in that ditch, and I was actually really calm about it. I wasn't like freaked out that, you know, I essentially got into a car accident, car issue. But I just sat there and asked myself, what the fuck are you doing? Why did you do this? Why did you let someone talk you into this? There's no logic in it. And that's right then was where I decided I've had enough. I'm super productive at home. I should work from home. How about you? How long have you been working remotely and how did you sort of enter that realm?
Well, it was kind of off and on for the past 7 years or so. So before TrackJS started, I was a contractor And so sometimes for some contracts, they were totally cool with me working from home. So I'd have like a, you know, a couple of weeks stint where I could just hang out at home. And that was pretty great. And then I'd, you know, that contract would end and I'd roll off to a new one and I'd be back, you know, at another shop that, you know, wanted butts and chairs kind of situation. And so I'd go back. But over the process, over the last 4 years or so of building up TrackJS, it's been slowly and slowly pushing to more and more remote work because TrackJS, we don't have an office anywhere. All of the members, we just work from our homes and we meet up at a bar or at a restaurant when we need to have like a face-to-face meeting, which saves on rent and that sort of stuff. But now that I'm full-time on TrackJS and have been for some time, I have a hard time even imagining going back into an office every day. Like, it just seems like such a bummer, such a waste of time.
I always felt the same way, especially because my first job, I worked in a cubicle. And so for like 5 years, I saw nothing but walls. But
that taupe fabric stretched across steel frame wall.
Right.
It would clip little Dilbert comics on it and make them feel better.
Right. Like half the people there would have a window, like a printed out picture of a window, you know, as sort of a joke. But the funny thing is I always said I never want to go back to an office, but then I get flown out to Toronto or Mountain View or San Francisco at the Mozilla offices, the Paris office. They're amazing, man. They're so good. And what's funny is that when I finally get a remote job, I'm nowhere near the office that I would love to go to every day. But for not every office is a Mozilla office, right? And so we can all be thankful that those of us that are remote can work from home and, you know, make our office be what it wants to be. So let's jump into what are your favorite parts of working from remotely? How has it like benefited your life and maybe for all remoties in general?
Well, so as a business owner, I have a benefit of I don't have to pay for rent, which is remarkably expensive once you add in all of those sort of things. But that's probably not very interesting to very many people. There's probably not a whole lot of people in that same situation where if they wanted to have an office, they would literally have to pay for that office to exist. So the personal benefits of it is that I get to set my own schedule for the most part, right? Like my kids, they don't even leave for school until about 9 a.m. For the school that they go to. And that's kind of late to, you know, just be leaving. And so because they, you know, I get them off on the bus at 9, I'm able to jump right into work after that. Or because everybody else on the team is also remote and we're set up to do that effectively, I don't have to work right then if I'm not feeling productive right then. Lately, my schedule has kind of shifted towards, I don't really start working until around noon. And then I work, you know, late into the evening, because that's when I find I'm like more productive. And so I feel like I do better work because I'm able to do that. So that's probably one of the biggest benefits for me. What about you?
There were a lot of benefits for me initially when I started working remotely and still carry through now that, you know, I have a family and I'm not just by myself. The first is that I have an office that I can completely customize, right? So I'm not using the green screen this week.
Well, that's assuming that, you know, we're in the Midwest where real estate is cheap and you can, you know, people can afford houses and apartments and condos where, you know, there is a room for an office and they don't share a closet like in, you know, big expensive cities.
You can decorate your own closet the way you But, you know, like I said, I took down the green screen so people can have a little look during this show. But if you go to davidwalsh.name/office, you'll be able to see pictures of my office and the reason why I have stuff where it is. So that's a really big one for me. Another reason that I love working from home sort of echoes what you've said. If I'm not feeling especially productive at a certain time, I don't need to start at that time. Or if I want to be in a different atmosphere, I can move somewhere else. You know, I have a living room with couches that I can sit in. If I have a Four Seasons room, if I want to be able to look outside and sort of wander off while I'm working. And lastly, I love being able to go get my kids if I need to. If my wife needs help with something, I sometimes, when we get to the bad side of things, I'm going to tell you the same story. But if somebody in the house needs help with something, I'm glad I can be here for them. And actually, I'm going to add one more that I love about working remotely. I hate driving. And not just because of the story I told earlier. To me, driving is just like the biggest waste of time. It's not something I enjoy. So, you know, that 15 to 20 minutes it took me to drive to work before is now 15 or 20 minutes more I can actually work or spend time with my family in the morning. So those are the biggest ones for me right now.
I agree. I don't particularly enjoy the act of driving either. I can't wait for the whole self-driving car situation to become real. I want to be able to, like, when I need to go somewhere, I'll just order my car to pick me up and I'll, like, work or play video games or hang out with my wife while we're, you know, driving somewhere. And I can't wait for that future. But I'm amazed that actually neither of us brought up what in retrospect is one of the biggest benefits of working remotely is that you don't have to wear pants.
Listen, there's a reason I put my camera up this high. Okay. So, you know, the next part that I wanted to get into was transitioning into working remotely, and maybe not to work is the first step. But what was funny is that when I first started working remotely, I had heard all the horror stories of people who got the opportunity to work remotely, but just couldn't keep it together, right? They were distracted by the TV. They were distracted by stuff that they needed to get done outside of work. And they sort of lost track of the fact that, oh, I'm supposed to be doing stuff. So in order to not fall into that trap, what I did was, and again, this is when I was, you know, before I was married, I was living alone. I decided that I was going to get up in the morning at the time that I did for that previous job. I decided I was going to dress nicely just to keep like a business state of mind. Like this is, you know, your home, but this is a job. By week two, I was wearing a nice shirt and sweatpants. By week three, the wheels had completely fallen off. It was sweatshirt, sweatpants. You know, I got into the habit of taking my pajamas off to take a shower and then putting on a new pair of pajamas for the work day. It was just,
yeah, you put on your work pajamas.
My work pajamas. It was a cycle. But that was, if I'm completely honest, one of the best things that I can do if there's a day where I really know I need to get something done, or in that case, transitioning into this new working remotely lifestyle, was dressing like a big boy in the morning. You know, even though you're not going anywhere, you're probably not going to see a lot of people. And even if you have video meetings, you know, a lot of the people in video meetings aren't always dressed super well. But sort like dressing well is a good way to feel like it's a business day, to feel like you need to get stuff done. So that's something that really helped me transition into working remotely. Another thing was setting specific hours. So most remote employers that I understand allow their employees to work flexible hours. You know, so you feel more productive at night, they want to get the most out of you. So be productive at night. But setting work hours was good for me in the beginning because it held me accountable the same way that dressing nicely did. You know, it was all about the mindset in that transition. Those were really the only two things that I needed to do to ensure that my transition to working remotely went well. Did you have anything else that you did?
Well, I think I can. Well, I didn't have the same things as you did. I think there's an underlying pattern of just establishing a routine, right? When my worst productivity moments working remotely have all come when my routine has been like disturbed. Whereas, like, if you were just rolling off of a you know, an in-house gig, maintaining that time schedule, like I'm going to wake up at this time, I'm going to get dressed like this, and we're going to work from these hours, it helps you stay in that routine. But right, the longer you work remotely, the less you need to cling to that routine, and you can move on to a different one. But I think whatever your routine is, however, like maybe it's not about dressing up, maybe it's not about like working these hours, maybe it's about, you know, you wake up and you do, you have breakfast with your kids, and then you go for a walk, and then you start working and you work these hours instead. whatever that routine is, I think it's important to stick to a routine because that's what kind of creates a self-perpetuating cycle. One of the big problems that I had when I started working remotely a lot was I would lose, I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like social motivation of like, I am not a morning person. And so a lot of days I would use the fact that, oh, I have to get into the office. I got to talk to so-and-so, or I have a meeting with, you know, with that lady, or I had something to do, something that I needed to be seen for, something that needed to happen. And that was my motivation to start working in the morning. And then once I got there, everything was fine. But when I moved to remote all the time, I lost that motivation. And so getting started became a lot harder for me until I got a routine established.
So you mentioned one of the pitfalls of working remotely, or a potential pitfall, I guess I would say. In as far as you mentioned being social, I've noticed that I really don't want to leave the house anymore. That like that's definitely a negative for me. One thing that I've tried to do to remedy that is go for bike rides in the morning. So I get out at some point during the day, get some exercise, see some people. But it's been a really weird effect where, like, even going to the grocery store sometimes, it feels like the biggest task in the world because you never end up having to leave the house. Have you found yourself feeling the same way?
Yeah, there have definitely been times when I found myself turning into a hermit version of myself where, you know, I haven't shaved in a week because there hasn't been a reason to leave. And I've gone through all of my pairs of sweatpants. And yeah, that's totally happened. The social isolation thing is definitely something I've experienced. I think you're right on. And it is important to go out and make sure that you interact with other people. One of the things that I did to try and kind of solve that is when I saw myself moving more permanently towards working remotely, one of my biggest fears is that I separate from the Minneapolis St. Paul tech community that, sure, you know, I was pretty active in while I was working. And if I don't have, you know, places to go, if I'm not in downtown, if I'm not working with different companies, I'll be less likely to go to user groups. I'll be less likely to go to happy hours. I'll be less likely to do all of those things and I'll lose touch. And so what I did was I started this thing called beers.mn. So if you're in the Minnesota area and you want to do a tech happy hour, you go to beers.mn. It's just a monthly meetup where we don't have a talk. I pick a bar and we go out and that's it. It's just a tech meetup, a tech drink up, I guess would be the name of it. But it forces me at least once a month to go out somewhere because it's my thing. I get to pick the date. It happens. So that it always works for me. And it forces me to stay connected with the community and make sure I know what's happening.
That's a really awesome idea. You mentioned having a hermit version of yourself earlier. I've always been the hermit version of myself.
There's not a non-hermit version?
No.
This is Hermit Dave right now, right?
This is outgoing Dave right now at home. So one of the other pitfalls that I've been having was actually working too much. Now, a lot of employers that I've spoken to who don't offer remote work will say something like, well, how do we know that people are getting things done? Or how do we know that you're sort of supposed to be where you're supposed to be? I found the opposite problem. And every remotee that I've spoken to has had the opposite problem of working too much, right? The nice thing about going to an office is that your stuff is at the office. And when you leave the office, you're done. And, you know, in some cases you can't work, but when you work remotely, when you work from home, your office is always there. Your computer is always there. So you can always get pinged by colleagues. You're seeing your email come in with bugs and such. And for me, it was hard to disconnect sometimes from work. What helped me there was having kids, having a wife who gives you the death stare through the door if you're not, you know, done. Now, I'm not telling people to go out and get a partner and have kids right away, but having, you know, sort of the same lines, you know, the same carrot that you gave yourself to get out, make an appointment with friends and get there. You know, make appointments with things and get out of your office. Put the computer down. Did you have that same problem where you felt like you were working too much? Well, you're a business owner, right? So
yeah. So when you start your own business, I mean, the great thing about it is that you get to choose which 80 hours per week you want to work. I do have that problem where I work too much. What I have the problem is that I work in fits and spurts. So like, I have this mental hurdle I need to cross in order to really start working and start being productive. And then once I get into that, like I will work for 10, 12 hours straight until like my brain just reaches a point of like mental exhaustion.
And then sure. Yeah.
Now then I might not work for another day because I won't be able to climb that hurdle again. Or there'll be weeks where like I literally work 80 hours on a given week when there's like something cool happening. I'm really excited about it. Like it's something that just really needs to happen. And then the next week it might be quiet. You know, nobody's having problems. We're not working on anything big. And so we'll just kind of take it easy and nobody will work for, I won't work for a couple of days. I've never actually counted it out. I feel like it balances out. But I guess that's one of the benefits of a flexible work schedule is that you can do that. So for me, the hardest transition is switching from, you know, leisure to doing work and then switching back.
Right.
And so I try to minimize as few of those transitions as I can.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Now, how is this for you? One way that things have changed for me in as far as working remotely was starting a family. Again, I used to have my own condo. I'd sit at home by myself all day. I have, you know, zero interruptions. But what happens when you have a family and you work from home? Interruptions, lots of them. What happens when FedEx drivers come by? Interruptions.
In the middle of a podcast, right?
That's right. And unfortunately for me, the best place for my home office logistically was right next to the front door. So my front door is maybe 10 feet from me right now. But that's part of working remotely, especially if you have a family, is dealing with interruptions. Now, one thing that I haven't done very well, and granted, I have a 4 and a 2-year-old, so not like they're going to listen to me anyways, but I didn't do a very good job in the beginning of making it clear that my office was not a leisure room as well. Because if you check out my blog post about my office, you know, I worked on Firefox OS TV for a while. So I have a 60-inch Firefox OS TV in my office. I have my Xbox and Nintendo 64 in my office, right? So if you're a kid and you look in, this looks like a playroom, right? And
to be fair, in a way, it is.
It is. It's just
your playroom. It's not their playroom.
So, you know, they do end up barging in a lot. And it's been really difficult to try and set that tone of, you know, I'm working right now. Don't come in here. So dealing with interruptions is something that I've sort of had to zen my mind into, simply dealing with them. Now, one thing that's cool about working at Mozilla is that it's really laid back. So if I'm in a video meeting and one of my kids jumps in screaming or tackles me or something, everyone's really cool about it and has a laugh. But there are times when you just want to focus and get stuff done in your office. And it really takes strength to not get too upset when these interruptions come, because they're going to come no matter what, and you have to deal with it. How has that been for you? How have you learned to deal with some of these interruptions, or have you learned to prevent them?
So my kids are a little bit older than yours. My wife and I have been together for a long time. We have a 15-year-old and a 7-year-old. And so the 15-year-old is not a problem anymore because she doesn't want to have anything to do with us. She is too smart to be seen with the likes of us at this point. But I've been, you know, needing to do work from home for a long, long time. Even before I worked remotely is when we were bootstrapping up TrackJS.
Right.
And before that, I was at grad school while I was working. And so I had homework. nights and weekends kind of thing. And so having a routine there for me again, where, you know, these were nights, like I would work Tuesday and Thursday nights. Those were my work nights. My wife supported that those were my work nights. So I would come home, we'd have dinner together as a family, and then I would go off into my office and close the door. And that was my work time. Now that works. It worked because I had her support to make that happen, but it also worked as long as I didn't abuse it. If too many times became work times, then the whole thing kind of fell apart, right?
Right.
Because I couldn't, she would be exhausted from dealing with things, or my kids just would need to see me for various reasons. And I would want to see them, and like that boundary would just start falling apart. And so keeping it so it was acceptable on both sides of like, here's an amount of time when I can be away without creating problems. And then just creating that boundary of saying, all right, this is work time. My door's closed. It won't be closed forever, but this is a 4, 6, 8 hour time period where like I am working.
Yeah. That I also ran into those issues where I felt like I was overstepping my work hours, right? Especially when you have kids, you have a huge responsibility outside of work and you do need to teach yourself to make that hard break. And speaking of teaching yourself things working remotely, we've mentioned a bunch of different ways that we can improve our working from home and our life outside, and as far as staying on task, taking breaks and such. What would you say are your biggest tips for successful remote life?
The first one for me that I brought up a few times is establishing a routine. It doesn't have to be the routine that you're in now. It doesn't have to be the routine you had when you were working for another company. Just make a routine that works for you. A daily pattern of what you're going to do when and when is going to be your work time. And like set up things like reinforcements around that so that those is your work time. Like don't work in front of the TV. If you enjoy watching television, don't work in front of the TV. Find a way to separate yourself from the things that you would do during your leisure time. I would say you should think about when you're most productive as a person. Like, what are the hours when you are most creative, when you're most focused on the things you need to do at hand, and set yourself up so that you can take advantage of those times, right? Like, if you're really effective early in the morning, plan to get up early, go to bed early the night before. Don't maybe get drunk the night before, and so you're not productive. I have a full-blown coffee addiction. And so in order for me to be productive, I can't be like running off to like go and buy a cup of coffee like when I need to be working, especially because it's like it's more difficult when you're not at an office where somebody else is making coffee. So have good coffee at home. Have a good coffee machine at home. Set yourself up. Set your life up so that you know when you're going to be productive, and try and amplify that as much as you can. Be that, having the right tools, the right equipment, getting, distractions out of your way. Plan ahead so that you're ready to be productive when your mind is at that point.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The biggest tip that I was going to give echoes your tip about environment. I spoke a little bit about my office. I have the TV in here. I have a nice couch in here, video game machines. I have a coffee maker, which you'll be quite pleased to know. But I've created an environment where, whether I like the task that I'm assigned with doing or not, I'm going to enjoy coming here every day. And if I get stuck on a difficult problem, I turn on the Xbox, I play a video game, and like the answer comes to me in the back of my head while I'm doing this mindless game, right? You mentioned if you like TV, don't keep the TV on. I love TV and I always have the TV on, but it's one of the, my wife will say, what happened in that episode? And I was like, I have no idea. I just need the noise, right? I put on the noise that I need. So it's all about environment, setting yourself up for success and taking advantage of the fact that you can create your own environment. The other thing I would mention again is what you mentioned, routine. Try and get to work generally the same time. Try to manage your time well. And one of the things about working remotely is it all comes down to personality, right? And when we come, the way that I learned web development was by myself in my bedroom when I was 14. And I've never sort of lost that ability to like just be by myself and get things done and teach myself things. And so I've carried that through the past 20 years. But even if you're someone who isn't comfortable being by yourself, if you're a social butterfly, you can always sit a few hours at a cafe, but really put yourself in an environment where you can get things done and put together your schedule so that work feels like work even when you're not at an office. My other tip is do not schedule wine deliveries for the day that you're going to be doing a live show.
I think you just your show format is just too professional. I think you should do the whole thing from like a selfie phone and have like just gone to the door and signed for your wine delivery while the show was going. I think it would have made for great programming.
You could not describe how bitter I was after last week with regard to that. But again, that's a pitfall of working from home that I'm just going to have to get used to.
Absolutely. So for the people who are, you know, have watched our show and are either working remotely or trying to work remotely, like what are some companies that you think really exemplify this the culture necessary to work from home?
So I think Mozilla does an incredible job. Every team that I've been on at Mozilla has been very accommodating with hours, has been very accommodating with, you know, sort of different lifestyles. And one of the cool things about Mozilla is that if you need office time, if you need to get with your coworkers, you can do so. You can schedule a work week, fly out to one of the offices. And amazingly, about 90% of the people that I've worked with at Mozilla are remotees. So I love Mozilla. SitePen was very good at me before I, very good to me before I left for Mozilla. And what's weird is that a lot of the big tech companies don't allow, you know, remote employment.
Well, they do, just it's not a uniform policy.
Right, like, sure.
I think I know people at all the big tech companies who do work remote. It's just, it's kind of a, not a super common arrangement that they're going to codify for everybody.
Sure. But I think Etsy does. I think DigitalOcean does. I think that there are a fair amount. And one thing that I would, for the people who don't work remotely now and would like to work remotely, I would do a little bit of research into companies that do allow that and sort of gear your open source contributions and your sort of job focus toward those organizations.
I would say that one of the most well-known companies for kind of pioneering the working remote approach is 37 Signals, Basecamp. The two founders wrote the remote book all about like dealing with it. And I think they sponsor like weworkremotely.com. I'm not sure if that's the right thing. It's basically a job board for remote workers. And so there's a lot of good material that they have about it. Lastly, if you really want to work remote and you just can't find a company that does it, be a contractor. Look at becoming a freelancer. There's a remarkable kind of explosion in this community of people who can just get the job done on their own. And you can set yourself up to take gigs where you can work remotely. Now, they're not always the best paying. They're not always the most prestigious, but it depends on what your priorities are. If you are willing to work, if you're willing to do certain kinds of work that will enable you to work remotely, there are jobs to be had.
Totally agree. I think we'll wrap it up there. Again, my name is David Walsh. You can find me on Twitter @DavidWalshBlog. DavidWalsh.name is the domain of my blog where I have posts about my office, and I've written a few blog posts about working remotely. Todd, drop those plugs, man.
I'm Todd Gardner from TrackJS. I'm at Todd H. Gardner on Twitter. I'm happy to share any other tips or ideas about how I work. I've never written a blog like David's whole thing on it, but maybe I should someday. I have a handful of articles at todd.mn, or you can check out the thing that I actually spend most of my time working on every day at trackjs.com.
What about the beers?
Oh, right. And if you're ever coming into the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and you want to like meet up for beers, check out beers.mn. It just refers to a meetup group called Tech Beers Twin Cities. It is a happy hour in and around the Twin City area. I schedule it based on when I am available or when cool people I know from out of town are coming in. So if you are a cool person from out of town coming in, hit me up and we'll schedule one around you. And we usually get about 40-ish people show up at some random bar and we have a good time.
Awesome. All right. With that, we're going to call it. Thanks for watching this week, guys. And we will be back next week.
Adios.
Script and Style Show is recorded and produced by David Walsh and Todd Gardner. We'll see you next time on Script and Style.